Through our three-week sermon series, Unsung Heroes, we are learning about some individuals whose names are not known or not familiar to us, despite the significance of their contributions to the work of God. Last week, we reflected on the story of the widow of Zarephath, a nameless, poor foreigner who saved and preserved the life of the prophet Elijah through her radical hospitality. Today we turn to Bezalel and Oholiab. How many of you have ever heard of these names, Bezalel and Oholiab? None. They are in the Bible and mentioned more than once, actually. But honestly, until I began to search the names of unsung heroes in the Bible, they never caught my attention. I am sure I saw their names whenever I was reading the book of Exodus, but obviously, they did not register in my memory. Perhaps it's because they are not main characters in the Bible. We know about Adam and Eve, the first man and woman, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three patriarchs, Moses, the fearless leader, Gideon, Samson, and Deborah, the judges, David and Solomon, the kings, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Hosea, Ezekiel and Hosea, they are the prophets, Mary and Joseph, the holy parents, Peter and Paul, the first church leaders. These are the big names whose stories are quite familiar to us. However, the Bible is filled with many more names that we seldom hear about, despite the great contributions they have made to the story of God's saving work. We are not familiar with their names, and some of them are nameless, like the widow we reflected on last week. These were people who served quietly in the background. And Bezalel and Oholiab belong to this group of unsung heroes. Their time was when the Israelites were wandering through the desert after they were delivered out of Egypt. Early in their journey, they were building a tabernacle, which would serve as a dwelling place for God, as well as their gathering place for worship. It would be a large tent, which was constructed of 48 15-foot-tall standing wood boards and four woven layers of curtains, and furnished with valuable materials. You can find the details of the tabernacle and its construction work in the book of Exodus, chapters 50 through 31 and 35 through 40. Building the tabernacle created an excitement among the people of God. As soon as Moses made an appeal about this building project, people began to come together with needed resources. Those with skills and willing hearts come to help construction, and others brought their free will offerings to carry out the work. This happened day after day, morning after morning. These people kept coming with their gifts to the point that Moses had to stand up in front of his people and tell them, stop. Stop, my friends. Stop giving. Because there was already more than enough to do all the work. Isn't that incredible? I wish I can make such a speech to you one day. Won't that be wonderful? All the chairs in the chancel choir, choir loft, all filled. So there's no more chair even to add. So I have to one day say, stop to join the choir. We have enough. But as you can see, there are still more rooms to fill in our choir. So with those who love to sing, just come and join us. God called Bezalel and his associate Oholiab to oversee this exciting building project. Let's hear again the first part of the divine call Moses received. The Lord spoke to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with divine spirit, with ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood in every kind of craft." Here God is telling Moses that Bezalel was already chosen to oversee the work of building the tabernacle. Bezalel was an incredibly accomplished artisan. As revealed in scripture, he was a metal worker, jeweler, gem cutter, and woodworker. Later in the book of Exodus, he's described as an engraver, designer, embroiderer, and weaver. With his ability, intelligence, and knowledge in every kind of craft, Bezalel certainly had the qualifications necessary to serve as a project manager for the job. Above all, Bezalel was filled with the divine spirit. Interestingly, this is the first biblical record of someone being filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Spirit of God. You might think that it was a big character like Abraham or Moses who would be described of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But no. Here, the scripture clearly says it's Bezalel, a blue-collar craftsman, a layperson, an unsung hero. We do not know much about this man, Bezalel's background, except his brief genealogy recorded in today's text. What we know about him, though, is that he was a man of many gifts and skills, and that he used them to give glory and honor to God and to benefit his people and community. I do not imagine that his gifts and skills were developed overnight when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Instead, he was most likely born with artistic gifts that later further developed through his training and work. And through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, he was able to use them for the building of the tabernacle, for the glory of God, for the benefit of his people, his community. That is how God works in the church, in our lives too. God has given us different gifts, and God wills us to use them not for our own pleasures and benefits, but for God's glory and to serve other people, to help other people. As followers of Jesus Christ, we are called to use whatever gift God has given to us to help others and to serve others. Daylene made a very clear message to her message to our children about the different gifts that God has given each one of us. We are born with all different kinds of gifts. Some gifts we already have discovered, and some have not been discovered yet. What gifts do you think you have? What are you good at? What are you passionate about? Use your gifts, your resources, and your passion to give honor and glory to God, to help and serve others. And look for such opportunities here at the church and out in the world. Just a few minutes before the worship began, as I was greeting, some people were sitting in the pews, arrived early and then sitting in the pews getting ready for the worship service. I was greeting Evelyn Bach, who's sitting here in our midst, and guess what she said? I missed the worship service last Sunday because there was a function in our community, and guess what? They put me to be the head of the event. At the age of 107, she is still using her gift and leadership to serve other people. Isn't that incredible? Praise God. Building the tabernacle was a process requiring beautiful teamwork. Though Bezalel seemed to possess all the gifts and skills he needed to do the work himself, God did not leave that work all to him. God provided him with an excellent associate, Oholiab. Like Bezalel, he was a gifted craftsman, and he also had a skill to teach other people. But the scripture goes even further. But the task was not left to them alone either. There were many other gifted artisans who joined them in the building project. God equipped not only the two leaders, but also all other workers who would carry out the task with them with their needed gifts. And it works the same way for the ministries of the church as well. Gifted men and women work together in partnership to serve and to help, some here on the church campus and some in the community. The building project God has in mind requires more than one talented leader or a dynamic duo. I might have all the gifts that are needed to do all the ministries beautifully, but if I try to do everything by myself, I will just miserably fail and leave you out, exclude you from experiencing the joy of God's ministry in God's ministries. Our various ministries, the work of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and building God's kingdom on earth, requires more than just some of us. A task this big is done through the teamwork of many gifted men and women who faithfully serve and willingly give, empowered by the Spirit of God. So here at Campbell, Some of those workers gather weekly to accomplish their tasks, while others come out monthly. And a number of these ministry teams have been working together for many years, yet they still enjoy their teamwork, serving quietly behind the scene, in the kitchen, in the office, out in the yard, up in the balcony, back in the sacristy, here on the choir loft, or in the education building, some coming out early in the morning and some staying late at night. They might not be seen as great leaders of the church, but they are indeed unsung heroes who help our church to be the church God calls us to be. But using one's gifts to help and serve others is not something believers do only just within the walls of the church or just on the church campus. Jesus reminds us, Jesus commands us to go into the world as his witnesses, to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to visit the imprisoned, to heal the sick, to comfort the grieving, to help the helpless, and to bring hope to the hopeless. And there are people, believers and unbelievers alike, who are already doing this work of helping and serving others. CNN heroes, as probably many of us, maybe most of us, are aware, is a television special who honors men and women who have made extraordinary contributions to humanitarian aid and made a difference in the lives of people and their communities. Nominees are introduced in the fall, and people are invited to vote online for their choice to be named the CNN Hero of the Year. In 2007, when the program started, 18 individuals were introduced. But since then, the number of nominees each year has been limited to just 10 people. So far, up to last year, 128 heroes from around the world and across the United States have been honored. The things that they have accomplished and the differences they have made in people's lives is absolutely incredible. Recently, CNN revealed the names of 10 nominees of 2019, this year's CNN Heroes. And I'm going to tell you who they are. Stacy Alonso, who has cared for over 1,400 pets at a pet shelter she runs for women victims of domestic violence. Naja Bezzi, who has helped more than 250,000 people in Detroit's impoverished community. Woody Faircloth, who has fixed up 65 old RVs for families who lost their homes to Camp Fire. Frewini Mebratu, who is changing the cultural stigma around women's periods in Ethiopia. Mark Myers, who has rescued 13,000 abused and neglected donkeys and burros. Richard Miles, who is helping people transition and stay out of prison after he himself spending 15 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. Roger Montoya, a professional dancer who has provided art classes and food and tutoring and support to more than 5,000 children and youth in New Mexico. Mary Robinson, who helps children how to mourn out of her own experience of losing her parents. Afroz Shah, a lawyer in Mumbai, who is on a mission to save the world's oceans from plastic pollution. Lastly, Zach Wiggle, a 29-year-old who has given video games to over 1 million seriously ill children in the hospital. And he does that every year, reaching out to over 1 million children with video games. Like all others who were honored in the past, each of this year's nominees of CNN Heroes started their work of helping and serving others alone on a small scale. But when they expanded their work by enrolling other people in their visions and recruiting volunteers, the impact of their work began to multiply quickly. Yet these individuals remained unsung heroes for many, many years until CNN found them and named them for their heroes for their extraordinary actions of compassion and care for others. As the CNN's special program continues, many more new heroes will be honored, and inspired by their stories, many new unsung heroes will be born. Friends, what stirs a passion in your heart? What are you good at? What gifts and skills do you have that you are not using to honor God and help and serve other people? When Bezalel and Oholiab were called for the work of building the tabernacle, they were ready. They were fully qualified for the task. I know sometimes God calls people who do not seem to be qualified yet, but amazingly, in a miraculous way, those persons are equipped with the needed gifts, and they serve. But the story of Bezalel and Oholiab was different. Their gifts, they were born with wonderful, beautiful gifts, and their gifts were further developed and nurtured through their training and work. Do you have a gift that needs to be further nurtured and developed? So when you are called, you can give your very best for the glory of God and the benefits of others. As Daylene beautifully pointed out, we, each one of us, whether we are young or old, men and women, well-trained or not well-trained, each of us is gifted with many different kinds of gifts. As we, as a church family, as each one of us is willing to use that gift or gifts for God's glory, to serve others, may the kingdom of God will become stronger than ever before, and we'll be able to fulfill the mission God has given to us to fulfill as a Campbell church family here in the city of Campbell and in the world. And may this blessing become the blessing for not just for our church family, but for the blessing for all the people we serve. Amen.